We're right in the middle of a series of lessons on the seven things that God has asked us to add to our faith, our part in salvation. We just finished taking the Lord's Supper. We thought very carefully about God's part in our salvation, about Jesus' death on the cross, about the life that he lived. And now, since we've received so much, God wants us to give something back to him. This morning we're going to talk about endurance. And endurance is a rare commodity, unfortunately, among many, many people. I'm just going to put this up here to think about a little bit. Okay. Thank you. There we go. Have you ever noticed that when you go and look at sports equipment, especially bicycles and weight machines, they're never worn out? Most of the time, you can get them almost new. Because most people who buy those things buy them on impulse. They might buy the best money can buy, but when they bring it home and they realize how much effort and time and pain that it takes to continue that. And I think most of us can remember that when we've started diets and we didn't have endurance, or we've started some kind of an exercise program and we didn't have any endurance, and we endured for a little while. And so the two proverbs that I think really capture what we're going to be talking about this morning are, when the going gets tough, what are we going to do? And the second is, if there's no pain, generally speaking, there's no gain. Now, when it comes to our initial excitement, it's just like exercise. When you first decide you're going to lose weight, you're very excited, you spend money, you join an exercise program, maybe you go put a year down for the gym, or you buy a very expensive piece of equipment, and then within a few months, you realize that I'm not really into this. This isn't really so exciting for me. Well, Jesus warns us that that's how Christianity is going to be, that the initial fire and zeal and excitement of baptism and the excitement of wanting to serve the Lord gradually gives way to problems. He that was sown upon the rocky places hears the word and straightway with joy receives it. That's how we start our exercise program. That's how we start our diet. That's how we start all our journeys into difficult things. Some people who start school have big plans to go all the way, become a doctor or a lawyer, but they get into school and they realize, this isn't for me. I don't like study. I don't like to have to study. It's hard. And even the Bible teaches this, that much study is weariness to the flesh. So people can get very excited, but here's the question, do we have any root? Now, generally when we think about endurance, we're thinking about tribulations or trials or troubles, and that's a part of it, but there's another whole side of this, and that is the putting our hand to the plow. Never forsaking an assembly. Repenting of every sin. Talking to our friends and neighbors about the gospel, praying without ceasing, giving diligence to present ourselves approved to God, adding to our faith, and all of these things, it can become overwhelming. And so, when they have heard, Luke 8:12, when they have heard, they receive the word with joy, but in time of temptation, they fall away. But perseverance changes everything. And that's why we have to have it. We've got to develop it. We've got to pace ourselves. I think maybe that's what another way of perseverance would be, pacing ourselves. A lot of times when we start this exercise or this diet program, we go into it so hard that we can't maintain it. And so learning endurance means throttling back just enough. When we first become a Christian, we're going to convert the world and we're going to conquer every lust and we're going to become the best Christian that God ever had. But then over time, we start to realize that we're in this for the long haul. We can't just sprint our way into salvation. Nobody can maintain an energy level that they have when they first become a Christian. That's what Jesus said. With joy they receive it, but then they recognize day after day after day that there's responsibilities and obligations. I think this happens to a lot of people who get married. They get married with the initial zeal and excitement and happiness and love, but over time, the long haul, they won't endure. And that's what we have to do. Brethren, if we have to cut back to a level just to keep going, sometimes that's what we need to do. And Jesus speaks of this, the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Now, when Job was under all of the trials of Satan, he wasn't doing his normal things. He was hunkered down just trying to get through each day. And sometimes that's what we have to do as Christians. Sometimes we're in a crisis situation, and it's okay in situations like that to back off to the level. I'm not talking about a level of unfaithfulness, but I'm talking about a level that you can keep on maintaining. And this is one of the most critical things that we need to learn as Christians, is that we've got to find the substances or the attitudes or the emotions or the qualities that will help us to keep going when the going gets difficult. And we all have to do that. We have to do that in every endeavor of life. There is no occupation that doesn't have problems. There is no marriage that doesn't have problems. There's no diet or exercise program that doesn't have problems. But those people who endure, they get through it, they get past it, and then they're able to do even more. And so when we're in the middle of a battle, we have to realize that God's expectations of us are that we persevere. And that may mean that we've got to learn to back off a little bit and to get through this specific crisis. We do this with people. When somebody in the church has some problems, everybody drops everything. I thought I was going to have to call Jeff yesterday and tell him I can't do the bulletin today. I was right in the middle of it. I was winding down on it. But I got that call, and there was a problem. And I said, what can I do? Because I think that was more important. And so sometimes we have to drop one thing in order to do another thing. Now, that can also be true of personal crises that we go through. Maybe when we're going through this crisis, it's not the time to be so active in evangelism. Maybe now we just have to focus on prayer and Bible reading and just getting through this difficult trial that has come. But if we keep trying to do everything, we're going to burn out. And so part of endurance is learning what we have to do to protect ourselves. And again, don't leave here thinking, oh, Alan's saying we can become unfaithful under certain times. There's a minimum threshold that we always have to be doing as Christians. But there are other times in our life where we can do a lot more. And we can push ourselves and push ourselves and push ourselves. But when this problem arises, everything's got to be focused. Because, brethren, we've got to get through that. We've got to get over this hurdle. And if this hurdle requires all resources and all focus and all efforts be focused here for a short period of time, that's part of being a faithful Christian. And it's something that we all need to realize, because the definition of perseverance simply means to remain. Now, remain may not mean that I'm up at this threshold. Maybe I'm just barely getting through this. But the critical thing is we don't fall away and that we don't stop. So endure bravely and bear bravely. You know, if you're running a marathon and you get a blister, you don't quit running, but you're going to have to change your stride a little bit if you're going to finish the race. Because a problem has come up, And now you have to refocus your resources. And I think some Christians don't realize that. I don't think some Christians think that God's expectation is that we're going to maintain the same level and the same energy and the same effort to all things all the time in our life. And when we get hit in the stomach and we realize, I can't do this, well then, back down just enough to get through. Don't forsake assemblies. Don't quit doing what you're supposed to be doing. But there are ways to allocate resources. It's like Paul said in Romans chapter 12. Those who can give to their giving, those who can show mercy to their mercy, those who can lead to their leading, we have to focus on what our abilities are. And it may be that at this phase in my life, the one ability that I have to get right now is just endurance. I've just got to endure this. Sometimes that'll happen with a health problem. I've met Christians who feel like they're not faithful to the Lord because they can't do what they were doing in their youth. Well, it's impossible. I remember singing that song. We haven't sung it here very much, but there's a song that talks about that when I get old, my voice won't be strong. Well, there's nothing you can do about that. Our physical bodies are going to decay. But the critical thing is that we remain steadfast and we remain faithful to God throughout all of these situations. We never, ever cave in. And so, number two there at the very bottom, patient, steadfast, waiting for. I don't care what's going to happen. I'm never going to quit. Now, I may have to reallocate resources in this particular crisis or this particular problem or this particular situation, but I'm not going to fall away. So the first thing that we, when we're gaining perseverance, is we have to become aware. You know, a lot of people, when they become Christians, they think it's going to be a bed of roses. Or it's going to be all cherries without any pits. Well, it's not going to be. And we have lots of proverbs. If you're handed lemons, make lemonade. In other words, make the best of the situation that you're in. And the scriptures are going to be revealing basically the same thing to us. So, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Now, we don't know what that fiery trial is going to be or when it's going to come. But at some point in our life, we have to make up our mind, I don't care what happens, I am not going to quit. And there are certain thresholds I am not going to violate. And then we have to figure out what they are. I'm not going to go through the day without prayer. I am not going to go through the week without worshiping with my brethren. I am not going to get through without reading the scriptures. And if I have an opportunity, I'm going to talk to this individual about their soul. There are certain things that we are not going to compromise on. But there's a lot of things that we do along the way that at a certain point, maybe we're going to have to reevaluate. So look at this verse. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Now, clearly, we are now going to take it to a little different level, and that is we are going to suffer as Christians. We're going to be persecuted. We are going to be laughed at. We are going to be mocked. We are going to go through physical problems. We are going to go through various situations that are going to arise. It's not strange. This is not unusual. We will need endurance. At a certain point, we will have to throttle back and we will have to say, I'm going to have to get through this problem and I'm going to focus all my resources right now on getting through this. Because if we fall away, you know, it's like what's going on in Malawi right now and what was going on in America in the 60s, the 50s and 60s. We had to change our approach and focus on the division. And while we were focusing on the division and on saving as many as possible, we didn't have as much time for evangelism. And evangelism really dropped off after that battle occurred. And you could say, well, maybe it was because the culture changed at the same time, because it did. At the same time that the church was going through its issues, America was going through the sexual revolution, and America was going through the rise of technology and the rise of prosperity, and a lot of things changed from the 50s into the 70s as far as the growth of the church. But we can't really not examine the fact that when that fiery trial came and all of those divisions were coming and persecutions and tribulations and situations, some people had to throttle back and focus on getting through that. And so when that occurs, we have to learn endurance. We have to learn. You have to learn your spiritual abilities and your spiritual strengths, and whatever it takes to get through is what God's going to expect us to do. And if we can do more, then we certainly should. But the key is to get through this. And so these two tiers of persecution now are, as we add self-control, the pain becomes acceptable and normal. And so hopefully in our 50s and 60s, we can do a lot more under these extreme trials than maybe we could when we were in our 20s or 30s or whenever it was that we first became Christian. And so as we add the self-control, you look at the Apostle Paul, and he could endure so much. It was incredible. And Jesus, the same thing. They were able to endure so much more. Why? Because they had perseverance. They had gained this perseverance, and so they are able to multitask. They are able to deal with this problem over here. When Paul talks about perils of rivers and robbers and countrymen and city and out of city and in the country and among false brethren and having to watch your words and having to be always be concerned about things. Now, for some people here, that would be more than enough. You couldn't do anything else. But Paul was different. Well, what made Paul so special? He had endurance. It's like trying to run a marathon. You know something? If we all showed up for a marathon tomorrow, Jeff would probably be the only one to finish because he's been training. And each one of us, some of us might get 5 miles or 10 miles or 2 miles or 1 mile. In other words, if you have a task, it depends on your preparation, how well you're going to be able to do it. Now, why can't we see that in Christianity? Why can't we understand that if we don't train and we don't hunker down and get past this and then add more and add more and add more until we reach this level where pain becomes acceptable and normal and actually even desirable, necessary, and important? I can push past this. Now, the first time I deal with it, I can't say that, because I'm learning endurance. And that's a critical thing. Some of us never quite learn endurance. We're just constantly struggling to maintain. But for the rest of us, those who are adding this perseverance to our faith, and so as we compare it to sports, we see the value of pushing the limits and gaining the power and control. So you have to ask yourself, and I have to ask myself, can I do more today than I could when I was first converted? I think when we were first converted, our whole focus was just on conquering our sins. We weren't trying to talk to anybody. I mean, we were talking to people, but we weren't able to study with them because we didn't know anything. We could invite them to services. We could invite the preacher to come study with them, but we hadn't prepared yet. We didn't have the endurance to sit down with an open Bible and deal with a Baptist or a Mormon or a Presbyterian or a Calvinist or all the different doctrines that are out there. We had to learn that. And some of us have been eaten alive by a false teacher because we weren't adequately prepared. And so we endured, and then we picked ourselves up and we kept going. And as I say, it's in all realms of life. And so, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endured. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now, here's an interesting aspect of this. Job's problems were not really persecution. His were just mindless suffering. Job lost his possessions and his family, then his health, then his reputation and his friendship with all of his friends and family, and finally his three friends came and they condemned him too. And that's what Job had to deal with. And we've heard of that perseverance. Now, that's a different type of perseverance than the kind of perseverance Jesus is talking about when he says that we have to endure persecution and tribulation because of the word. That's the difference between the rocky soil and the good and honest heart is endurance. With endurance, we can get through that. But there's other things that happen. Romans chapter 8, everything we've just finished studying, is dealing with the fact that there are going to be times in our life where all of our resources are going to have to be used to get through this health problem or to get through this situation that has arisen regarding some physical problem or spiritual problem or emotional problem or even just a flat-out physical problem, time and chance. Satan doesn't really care what trial can hurt us. And so that brings us to the situation of count it all joy when you fall into manifold trials. Now, Job had it right. I don't know what he was doing at this point in his life. He arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But notice, he changed his focus. He tore his robe. He shaved his head. He fell to the ground. He was focused inwardly. I've got to get through this. I'm not going to allow my faith to be stripped from me. I'm not going to allow that. And whatever resources I have to use right now to get through this, that's where it's going. I'm going to get through this. And that's got to be the first step in our attitude. I will not sin. I will not charge God foolishly. I will not become what Satan thinks this will do to me. Now, you and I have met plenty of people who did along the way. People who Jesus talked about, the rocky soil. The ones who tribulation or temptation or trials cause them to leave. Job didn't do that. We've heard of Job's patience. I'm going to skip this slide. There's no easy way. You've got to go through trials. Now, whether it happens the first day after I become a Christian, or the first year, or the second year, at some point, if we're going to gain perseverance, we've got to go through trials. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, we talked about that word various when we were dealing with James. It means many-sided or multicolored. It's like the rainbow. You can see every color in the rainbow. Light broken down becomes various colors. Trials broken down. There's physical trials, there's persecution trials, there's financial trials, there's relationship trials. There are trials that come from age, from time and chance. It just goes, there are so many kinds of trials. And you just never know, where's going to be the big stone that's going to trip me up? And when that one hits me, you know, sometimes you go through life, oh, I can handle this, I can handle this. And then suddenly you wake up one day and you realize, wow, I wasn't expecting this. Everything stops. You've got to get through that. There's no easy way. When you fall into manifold trials, you first of all know this is a test. This is a test I have to pass. Now, when I was in school, if I had a test in math, I'd kind of let the rest of the subjects go and focus on the math one. Then when I got the next test, I'd focus on that. In other words, you've got to get through. So the testing of your faith produces endurance, just like running produces more running writing produces more writing, but some people don't want to get past the pain. They never get to the point where they can do a 100-mile ride and know the joy and the satisfaction of making your body your slave, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And that isn't just in the physical realm, it's just we can see it clear in the physical realm. But there's a certain satisfaction to being a Christian who can endure things like Paul did, or endure things like Jesus did, and get through it, and not have to miss a step, not have to give anything up or change our focus at all because we've reached that level. But that's the thing. First, you've got to get through the testing of your faith, and you've got to produce that perseverance or that patience or that endurance. And some of us just haven't focused on that. And so there's a certain pain threshold that some of us can do that others cannot in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. It isn't generally ability. Now, somebody may be able to run the race faster because they got a better cardiovascular system. But most people, if they train, can run a marathon. Now, it may be the most grueling thing in your life, but most people can do it. Now, they can do it in their 20s and 30s. I'm not sure if they could do it in their 70s or 80s. I don't think Virgil would want to try a marathon at this stage of life. But it can be done, if we handle things properly. Now, that's all this scripture is saying, is that there has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Now, normally we think of evil, wicked, sinful things there. And that's true. But this is just as much a part of it. Satan could have destroyed Job with those mindless sufferings as he could with David and Bathsheba. Everybody's different. That's why Jesus said, some people have hard hearts, some people have rocky hearts, some people have thorny hearts. Satan can work with the thorny-hearted people in a different way than the rocky-hearted people. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. Now, here's a critical point. Yeah, I'm having to hunker down right now, and I'm having to back off of this or that right now, but you know something? If I can get through this, I'm going to gain something so precious. I'm going to get to this perfect work, and the time will come where I don't have to hunker down anymore, where I don't have to allocate my resources anymore. I can handle this and this and this and this and this and this, and I can still do everything else. But not in the beginning. And there is nothing wrong with having to allocate and get through it. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I think that's fascinating. I think that God is trying to give us a very important secret, the secret that Paul said he learned. I have learned how to be content in whatever state I am. I can be abased, I can be at the lowest point of all, or I can be as happy as possible. I don't need either one. Have we reached that level? Do we have to have certain things to be happy? Or can we be happy and contented in any state? If patience has reached its perfect work, and we are now perfect and complete, lacking nothing, at that point in time, we've reached a level of spiritual growth and maturity where we're so much more like the Lord and so much more like the Apostle Paul. But it's getting there. And some of us, we shy back. When we get into a problem, we don't want to have to face it. We don't want to have to deal with it. We just want it to go away. But that's not the way that it has to be done, and that's not what we want to do. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God, through whom we also have access by faith in this grace, wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, there's the straight way with joy. He receives it. But verse 3, not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations. You can't teach this to a new convert. I mean, you can read it to them, but they can't understand it. They can't comprehend. How can I be happy in sorrow? How can I be happy when I'm miserable? Well, if you can look past the misery to the peaceable fruit that comes down past it, then we can actually reach a point where we rejoice in our tribulations. Now, it's an odd kind of joy. I'd have to tell you this. It's an odd kind of joy. It's not the normal, you know, if somebody gives you $10,000 and says, here, just buy whatever you want, that's a joy that doesn't have any conditions. That's a happy joy. But when you get a phone call that somebody has died that you love very much, and in the back of you, there's a joy. Now, it's not a jump up and down joy. It's a joy, I guess, that maybe the marathon runner feels when he reaches mile 20 or mile 21 and he gets through it and he's miserable, but he's got joy. Well, what's the joy for? Because he's conquered. Because he has reached a level of function. And let's go back to the spiritual. That's how God is going to look at me. God sees me in a very different light when I can be like Job. Now, you remember what God said to Job? This is a perfect and upright man who turns away from evil and can handle anything that you throw at him. Now, there are not very many people in the world like Job. I don't know if I could handle what Job did. I don't know if you could handle what Job did. And you know something? If I say, what does that verse say? Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Oh, I could do what Job did. Well, I'd like to think I could, but I'd rather not have to go through that. But the point is, why rejoice in tribulations? Because in the back of our heart, we're seeing a spiritual maturity. We're seeing a spiritual growth and development, and that should bring joy. If you've never felt that, then we need to add perseverance. Because without that perseverance, you're never going to be able to rejoice in tribulation. Look at the steps. How do you rejoice in tribulation? Number one, knowledge. You know that the tribulation works perseverance. So we have the virtue, we have the knowledge, we have the self-control, and that's where the perseverance can come in. And the joy, I think, comes from that next word, approvedness. So let's talk a little bit about that word, approvedness. To perform, accomplish, achieve. After the farmer has completely plowed his field and he's totally exhausted, but there's a joy because that's one more step toward success. So tribulation works approvedness. The word approvedness means tested in battle, reliable, trustworthy. That's where the joy comes from. When I go through a trial and I get through the other side and I can look back on it and I can say to my God, thank you, Father, I've grown to the point where I successfully got through that. I feel really good about this trial. But we've got to take the right steps in order to get there. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, which is much more precious than gold that perishes. So there's my joy. My joy is my faith has reached a level of spiritual maturity where I can endure. And this problem has come, and this problem has come. I didn't fall away. And I didn't run to my inner chamber and close the door and start praying because I just can't handle this right now. And I didn't call somebody else and say, look, would you handle this? Because I can't take on another thing right now. The genuineness of our faith being much more precious than gold. You know, when Jesus was in the garden, I'm sure he would have glad to trade places with somebody, but there wasn't anybody to do it. He was the only one who had that ability. And sometimes that's the case with us. You know, when you're in your 20s, you can look to the people who are in their 60s or 70s and say, well, they can handle this. But when all those people are gone and we're the 60s and 70s and we're, oh, let's give it to the 20-year-olds, they can handle it. No, we can't do that. They can't handle it. We've got to handle it. And isn't it wonderful to go through those trials in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s and finally reach the point where there isn't anyone else and you don't need anyone else? I'll handle this myself. The genuineness of your faith, much more precious than gold, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that's my praise, my honor, and my glory. How do I know that? Because in Romans chapter 2, that's what it says. That we are seeking for praise and glory and honor. And it's going to come if we can add this perseverance. I won't read all of this. We're getting a little short of time. But that great cloud of witnesses, that's what they're there for. I can look, you know, I can find people in the Old Testament who have gone through exactly what I'm going through. And that can create endurance. Let us run with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Verse 3, consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners. All three words, same Greek words, that Peter says, you need to add that to your faith so you can eventually get to where the Lord is. That's the goal. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus. And that's what he told them in chapter 10. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I know the evil days are coming, and they're much worse than I anticipated. As I'm moving into the older age, and I'm finding certain physical problems, it's tough. I didn't expect to have a spiritual component to this. And you know what the spiritual component is? When you get up in the morning and you have to go back to bed because you don't have any energy, and you're thinking to yourself, I used to be able to work all day. Maybe the Lord doesn't think I'm faithful anymore. Well, that's not what it is. But it's hard to deal with that. And you talk to people that have gone through serious physical problems, and you find that there's a spiritual component you never anticipated there. And you have need of endurance. And then he quotes Habakkuk, which we're not going to have time for right now, but the passage in Habakkuk, God is saying, look, Babylon's coming. He's either going to get through it or not, but I'm not going to hold him back. He's coming. So my righteous one is going to live by faith. But if he shrinks back, my soul won't have any pleasure. So as Paul states, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. In verse 12, if we endure, we will reign with him. There's the joy. There's the joy. So, as we wind down this lesson, do you have endurance? We have more endurance now than we did when we were first started out. Those of you who are starting out, there's your marching orders. Take this lesson and start making applications and start pushing yourself as hard as you can, for as long as you can, and as far as you can to get as much endurance as quickly as possible so that you can do more and more and more. And those of us who are spiritually mature, we still need to be adding this endurance. It's critical. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. And so as we pick up the Song of the Invitation and we turn to number 338, the question for each one of us, is there anything in this lesson that we need to make some changes with? And is there any reason or something that's happened this week or this year or in my life that means I need to come forward? Or maybe today is the day to be baptized into Christ and put on Christ. The decision has to be made, but you're the only one that can make it. And if you're ready to make a decision, we'd like to invite you to come while we together stand and sing.